All right, we're going to change direction a little bit tonight. Instead of being in a book that starts with a J and has four letters in the Old Testament, we're going to be in a book that starts with a J and has four letters in the New Testament. Of course, we've been, and that's the book of John. So if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 4. I just want to read a part of one verse and all of another verse, and I'll tell you why we're changing direction in just a minute. John chapter 4, look down in verse 13. We'll just read the whole verse, verse 13 and 14. John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Those of you that have been here the last couple weeks know that we've been studying the book of Joel, and we've gone just about all the way through the first two chapters. We've gone through all of chapter one, and we've gone through most of chapter two. And my plan was tonight to finish up chapter two, finish up chapter three, and be done with Joel. Adam's on the schedule to teach next week, I study on Monday, I study on Tuesday, I read and study about what I'm going to teach about on Wednesday, and then on Wednesday in the morning or Wednesday afternoon, I just put my notes together, because I always wait and see what God's going to do in my life. Sometimes he'll do things on Monday and Tuesday and even on Wednesday morning that are illustrations that of the truth that he wants presented on Wednesday night. Well, I could just never get peace about Joel. I mean, you know, we studied the first chapter where it talked about the punishment that was going on because the Israelites had turned away from God. That punishment came in a horde of locusts. And then last week we talked about the message was, hey, if you don't repent, the punishment's going to get worse. But if you repent, I'll not only forgive you, I'll start to bless you, but I'll restore everything that the locusts have taken away. And you that have been here know that Joel's been very descriptive in his account of how the locusts have come into the country and eaten up everything and destroyed everything. And so, I was prepared to go ahead and finish that tonight. And last week, I don't know, Thursday or Friday, when Adam and I were together one time, I said, "Well, what do you think about the study of Joel?" And his answer was, "It's the most depressing study I've ever heard. It's just depressing." In fact, tonight I was sort of kidding him. I said, "You're teaching tonight, right?" He said, no, aren't you continuing your depressing Bible study tonight?" And I thought, not tonight, but as he said it last week, I said, "Man, if I'm depressing the assistant pastor, what am I doing to everybody else?" And Brother Leonard and I were talking about it Monday night a little bit about, you know, sometimes, you know, you think God wants you to go in one direction, and then he just doesn't give you peace about it. I mean, Brother Leonard was telling me about Sunday morning. He didn't get peace about a Sunday school lesson until he got up and started teaching it. I think that's what you were telling me. And I just couldn't get peace about it. I mean, I sat down this afternoon. I was getting ready to make my notes, and it's just like God was saying to me, I don't want you to teach that tonight. And so tonight, instead of finishing up, and we'll finish up, not next week, but the week after, I just want to do a little Bible study. And if I was going to put a title on it, it would be Depressing or Refreshing. It's up to us. Depressing or refreshing, it's up to us. I have 3 points that I want to make tonight, and hopefully you'll leave choosing to be refreshed as opposed to depressed. And again, it's simple, and it just reminds you of some things that everybody knows, but you know, sometimes we need to be reminded of what we know. The things that we know need to be reinforced so that we live in them and on them, as opposed to, and I can't remember which one of the guys prayed, but one of them said, you know, sometimes we just, I think it was Brother Leonard, we just neglect. We just don't go to God. He's there, but we just neglect to go to him. And so 3 points tonight. Here's the first one. Number one, it's depressing to be apart from God, but refreshing to live in his presence. Now, again, I'll refer back to Joel to make a point. The people in Joel's day were apart from God. They were his children. but they turned away from him. And that, as a result, he had to send the locusts as a form of punishment. And so I'm sure as they watched what was happening to their land, as they suffered all the things that the locusts did to them, it was a depressing time for them. And it's a depressing time for us when we are apart from God, but it's so refreshing when we live in his presence. Now, I got a couple sub-points. It's depressing not to be saved. It's depressing to be lost. You see, it's depressing to be not to be lost because we were made to fellowship with God. I mean, there's a part of us that unless we have a relationship with God, it's missing. And there's just something in our life. If we don't have that relationship with God and know Jesus as our Savior, there's just something missing in our life. And again, all of these thoughts came to me about 3:30 this afternoon. So if I'm a little disjointed tonight, or a little bit more disjointed than I normally are, please understand, I just made myself a bunch of thoughts as I wrote them down, and I think this is what God wants me to share with you. But I was thinking. And I was thinking about some of our widows. I was thinking about Betty, and I was thinking about Lois and Wanda, and how there's a piece of them that has been missing since their husbands went to heaven. Now, I have not talked to them specifically about this, but just as I've noticed them, and I think if I gave them a chance to stand tonight, they would tell me that I'm right, that there's since their husbands have gone, there's just a piece of them that's missing. I mean, they go on with life. They go on with the things they have to do. But there's just something missing that is supposed to be there that is just not. And that's the way I believe a lost person feels. They were made to have a relationship with God. It's supposed to be there, and it's not. And maybe they can't put it into words. Maybe they can't express it. And I think that's why the world turns to so many different things to try to fill up that empty spot. I mean, the world has plenty of things that they'll say, oh, you're looking for peace, you're looking for purpose, you're looking for satisfaction. Well, then do this or do this or do this. And all the things that the world has to put in that spot are just empty promises. I mean, even the Bible says, sin for a season is pleasurable, but it doesn't last. And so it's depressing to be lost because there's something, and lost people know it, there's something in your life that's missing. But how refreshing it is to be saved. How refreshing it is to have a relationship with God. How refreshing it is that that will never change. Now, you know, the same thing that I talked about the widows, the same thing can be true about a parent that loses a child, or a child that loses a parent. I mean, there's just, and again, with time, it may not become so noticeable. But there's just, there are parents that years ago lost children when they were young, members of our church, and there's still a part of them that's missing. I mean, even though it happened 20, 25 years ago, you talk to them, there's just something in their life that's supposed to be there that's missing. And isn't it refreshing that when we meet Jesus as our Savior, that the rest of eternity, that thing, that person that we needed in our life to make us complete is going to be there. It'll never change. That spot in our life and in our soul, however you want to say it, that could only be filled with a relationship with God, will always be filled with that relationship. And so, it's depressing not to know Christ as your Savior. It's refreshing to know Him. Another sub-point, and I'll tell you when I get to point number two, okay? So just this is still point number one. It's depressing to face a life without Him, but refreshing to know that He's always there with us. You've heard me say many times, I don't know how people that don't know God get through life. There's so many things that come into our life where if we had to face them by ourselves, we just fall apart. And again, I don't know how people that don't know God, don't have a relationship with God, make it through this life. But to know that God is always there and know what we need and is watching out for us and will never, ever leave us, but always be there, is just, it's refreshing. How can you be depressed knowing that you have a heavenly Father that is with you all the time, that has promised to never leave us or forsake us? We sang a couple songs tonight, and I always look for confirmation that I'm headed the track that God wants me to be. And as the guys prayed tonight and as Adam sang the songs tonight, I said, okay, Lord, thank you for giving me that confirmation. I think I'm doing exactly what I want you to do. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. He's my very best friend. I mean, here's what I was thinking about. You know, when you're a child and you have a dad, the kind of dad that's supposed to be, a dad that's like he's supposed to be, you don't worry. I mean, when I was growing up, I never worried about what I was going to eat. I never worried about, you know, where we were going to live. I never worried about what I was going to wear. I mean, I just never worried about that. And even as I grew older, I always knew that if I had a problem, I could call my dad. I mean, it didn't matter what kind of problem it was. I mean, if it was a mechanical problem around the house or mechanical problem with the car or any kind of problem. I mean, if I need to borrow money, I could call my dad. I mean, I might have to call him again, but anyhow, I could always call my dad. I mean, he was always there. And then, and I think I told you this story before, and it's just as real to me today as it was 36 years ago. I can remember when I got married and we moved to Indiana, and I realized that I was the head of the household. That I realized that, you know, if somebody came sneaking into the house in the middle of the night, it wasn't Dad that was going to get the baseball bat and go after him. It had to be me. And that if there was going to be groceries on the table, it wouldn't be Dad that was putting them there. It would be me. And I got sort of overwhelmed with that for a while when I realized the responsibility that I had. Now, I still always, my dad was still a phone call away. I could still turn to him. But here's what happens. You know, we get older, and then Dad's still there. In my case, he's still there. And I can still go to him for advice, but I can't call him anymore to help me with stuff around the house. He's, you know, he can't take care of his. I have to go down and help him take care of his house every now and then. And there are things that I cannot ask him to do anymore. I remember a friend at work who was very close to his dad, and he lost his dad. His dad passed away, and I can remember standing in a funeral home with him next to the casket, and he says, Darryl, you just never realize how much you grow up when your dad passes away. How much you grow up when your dad passed away, because he's always been there to turn to. And I thought about that. That's how God is to us. He is our Father, and He will always be there, and He will never get so old that He stops taking care of us. Now, sometimes in our Christian life, we get independent, and we say, well, God, I can take care of this, and I don't need you as much as I needed you before. And I think God, in those situations, sends things into our life to remind us, oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. You still need me. And I'm always going to be here, and you can always turn to me. Now, that's a refreshing thought, to know that God knows everything that's going on in our life and will give us what we need and will always be there, never leave us or forsake us. And then it's refreshing. Again, I'm still on point number one, so don't start counting and say, boy, he's almost done. it's refreshing to know where he's taken us. I don't know about you, but if I didn't know Jesus and I was headed for hell, I'd be depressed all the time. Hell's a depressing thought. It is. Just stop and think about it. It's just, and I know, most of us are saved tonight, if not all of us. What if you weren't saved and you were headed for hell? Man, I'd be depressed. I'd want to get saved right now. I wouldn't want to face hell. But when I think about heaven, and I was thinking this afternoon, you know, heaven is just the opposite of hell. There's no God in hell, but there is a God in heaven. Hell is a place of darkness. There is no night in heaven. Hell is a bottomless pit. There's a street of gold in heaven. Weeping and gnashing of teeth in hell. No pain, no tears in heaven. Just the opposite. And we have that future to look forward to in heaven because of what Jesus did for us. Refreshing. Hell's a depressing place. Heaven is a refreshing promise. All right, so that's point number one. Point number two, it's depressing to be punished, but refreshing to be blessed. Now, going back to Joel for a minute, people were being punished. They were God's people. They turned away from him, and he sent punishment. And I'm sure it was depressing for them to see what the locusts did to their land. But isn't it refreshing to be blessed by God because we are being obedient and are in the midst of his will? When we disobey God, he's going to punish us because he loves us. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. In the middle of that chastening, sometimes it's hard to remember why he's doing it. I'll be honest with you. I never liked to be disciplined. I never liked it when I did something and my mom said, when your dad gets home, you're going to get it. I didn't like the anticipation of it. I didn't like it when dad got home and executed it. Nor did I like what happened, what I perceived, and it was probably just in a little kid's mind, but I never liked what I perceived it did to our relationship. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't true, but I always thought after I got spanked, well, dad doesn't like me as much as he did yesterday because I messed up and he had to punish me. And so he doesn't like me as much as he did. And as I grew up and became a parent, it was depressing to have to execute that discipline for my own children. And I sometimes think that's how God feels when he has to punish us. I heard my dad say a lot of times, I never didn't understand it until I had to do it myself. And I think this is the way God feels. This is going to hurt me a whole lot more than it does you. I just never understand that on the other end of the razor strap. But when I held the belt, then I understood it. And I think that's the way God feels. But he loves us so much. Now, it's refreshing to be in the center of God's will and to be obedient and to get the blessings that come with obedience. It is. It's just refreshing. I mean, I think about what God's doing for us as a church. It's not us, it's him. I think about all those little kids that we had up here. I mean, Candy ran out of little books on Sunday because there were so many of them. I mean, she had some more in the nursery. She took care of them after she got back there. But, I mean, God is blessing our obedience. I don't believe he would send those kids to us if we weren't doing what we were supposed to be doing. I don't believe for a minute that we'd have all these visitors that are just coming in off the street. I mean, couple after couple, family after family, looking for a church home. I don't believe God would do that for us for a minute unless we were obedient and being the kind of church that he wants us to be. You say, preacher, you think we're perfect? No. I think God's still got a lot of work to do on us as a church and as individuals. But I think he realizes that we're trying. And we're trying to be obedient. We're trying to be the kind of church that he wants us to be. And he's saying, okay, I'll trust you. And I'll send you the blessing of giving you more people to minister to. And it's so refreshing to be on the end of the blessing as opposed to the end of the discipline. So we get to choose. I mean, we get to choose. We get to choose if we're going to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior or not and have the refreshing that comes with the relationship that we get to that we have with Him. We get to choose if we're going to be obedient or not and have the refreshing of the blessings that come. And then number three, it's depressing to see the impact on others when we're disobedient, but refreshing to see the impact on others when we are obedient. Again, I'll go back to the book of Joel. I think there was a lot of parents in the land as the locust came that were brokenhearted because of what was happening to their children. Not because their kids were disobedient, but because mom and dad were disobedient. And I think about the stories in the Bible. I've read the Chronicles, 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings again this week, and I read about the last king of Judah before Nebuchadnezzar came and took him into captivity. His name was Zedekiah. And in 2 Kings chapter 25, the Bible says, And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes and put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him with fetters of brass and carried him to Babylon. So here was a dad and king who was disobedient to God. He didn't listen to the prophet Jeremiah. Disobedient to God. And he was carried captive to Babylon, and before his eyes they killed his son. He had to watch as they killed his sons. And he realized that his sons were being killed because of his disobedience. I think about the story of Achan, who stole that wedge of gold and that Babylon or that garment and that and silver from Jericho, hid it in his tent. Make a long story short, discovered. God revealed who took it. And as punishment, they took Achan, his wife, and his family, and stoned them. I think about Korah, that one who led a revolt against Moses, who, when God meted out the punishment, Moses said, now if God doesn't do something different, then you know this is not of him. But if he does something different and the earth opens up and swallows Korah and everything that he has, then you know this is of God. And that's exactly what happened. The earth opened up, swallowed Korah and all his wife and all his children and all his goods. And how depressing it is to realize that our children, our grandchildren, suffer because we are disobedient. But how refreshing it is to see them be blessed because we are obedient. Think about Noah. He was obedient. 100 years building the ark. And he got to take his wife and his three sons, and his three daughter-in-laws, on the ark. And they were saved from the flood. Think about Abraham and the blessings Lot, you know, we know Lot. But Lot was blessed because he was around Uncle Abraham. It was the obedience of Abraham that resulted in Lot being blessed and then in Isaac being blessed. And then David, you might think, well, preacher, David's not a very good example. Well, yes, he is. Because if you go and you read about the descendants of David that were kings of Judah, many times in the Bible it says God withheld his punishment for David's sake. For David's sake. And how depressing it is to know that we may be the result of punishment or God's lack of blessing on our children and our grandchildren, but how refreshing to know is if we're obedient, how he will bless them for our sake. And so, depressing or refreshing, we get to choose. We get to choose. And I don't know about you, I'd rather be refreshed than be depressed. I've been depressed ever since Adam told me my Bible studies were depressing. But I hope tonight he'll say, "Hey, Dad, that wasn't too bad." All right. Excuse my popping around tonight and changing things at the last minute. Thank you for being here. Again, I say, don't we have a good God? We got a good God. Let's stand together and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.